Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks to Chris Russell for the update. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. On their Mattress Warehouse hotline is Radio.com Sports Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas, the proof is in the Pennzoil. John, thanks for joining us in D.C. Let's start with your report and the news you broke this morning that the Cardinals have at least a positive test. Do we know if this is players or is this staffers? What can you tell us?
Yes, I believe they have two positive tests from what I'm told. I'm assuming they're players as the game's canceled, but I'm not sure. I mean, if I'm told two Cardinals, that to me sounds like players. I don't consider someone on the staff to be a Cardinal, but maybe they do. In any case, the game is postponed today, but they're retesting, and hopefully there'll be no more positive tests.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, it's a silly question, but yesterday we found out, you know, people said, well, the Phillies have had two positive tests, and it turns out they were staffers. They still haven't had, to my knowledge, you could correct me, a single positive test among players, and they haven't been able to play since they played the Marlins. So it seems like
I believe that's correct. Yeah, I believe
baseball's
that's
not
correct.
Really saying that it has to be players. If someone in the organization tests positive, I mean, the Phillies have now basically been held hostage for close to a week.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what I was told, that it was two Cardinals. So my assumption is those are players. The Phillies, I heard, they were staffers. There was one yesterday and one previously on a staffer. There was a clubhouse person a few days ago with the Phillies, and then yesterday it was a coach who was positive, I believe. So they do have two positives, but yes, you are correct, no players. And I believe they tested last night as well, and I have not heard that they had any players. So they would be still at zero in terms of the players for the Phillies.
John, I'm not suggesting we've approached this threshold, but one thing I haven't gotten a lot of clarity on, and I understand this is very fluid, this is all a new novel thing, but what is the threshold for Major League Baseball to say, you know what, we can't do this?
Yeah, it's not a written, hard and fast thing. There isn't a set standard. I've read the protocols, 119 or 113 pages of it. It's up to Commissioner Manfred to decide what to do. You know, my feeling, my guess would be that if somebody becomes seriously ill, that would be a big problem. In terms of the number of teams or the number of players, I'm not sure. We're not to that point yet, I don't think. You know, we get a cancellation here and there. We've got two teams with positive tests. We've got the Marlins with 18. We have the Cardinals with two. That's 20 players out of 30 times 30, 900 players. So we're still only at 2% of the players who have had a positive test since the season started. So, I mean, you know, I'm not in contact continuously with Commissioner Manfred, but I would say that we're probably not close to the point of suspending the season at this point.
John Heyman on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. When we get to the end of the year, is there going to be a team that's played like nine fewer games potentially than other teams? So are they going to be able to get everyone? Is it pertinent that they get everyone to the same number of games played?
Well, the goal is to have everyone play 60, but the way things have gone, we're only a week in, and you know, we've already got two teams that are going to be missing a week's worth of games. I think it's going to be difficult. They're clearly going to try to do with doubleheaders. You know, Philly is playing Miami, at least scheduled to, this coming week, starting Tuesday. Perhaps they can get three doubleheaders in instead of just three regular games. I mean, if they get games at all, they'd still be behind. So I think it's going to be difficult for all 30 teams to have 60 games at this point. You know, if it's close, I think they'll be happy with that. They may have to go by percentage in the end. But look, doesn't the NFL have some tiebreakers they go by that decide who's in the playoffs that are kind of funky? Like, you know, I don't know whether it's points or I'm not an NFL expert, but, you know, and, you know, there's some complaint about it, and there would be complaint about this too, but, you know, you got to do the best you can do. And, you know, at this point, I would say it's, you know, looking at it, it's not likely we're going to have 30 teams play 60 games.
Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman joins us here on Grant and Danny. John, what did you make of the Dodgers, Astros, Joe Kelly? He's been suspended 8 games. That's more than all the Astros that cheated combined in terms of active players that are still in Major League Baseball. The optics, I get it. Major League Baseball kind of created this situation, though, it would seem to me. But just want your reflection on what happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate that the players had to be given immunity, but that's the way it was. That's the way it was set up. And, you know, I understood why the players weren't punished at the time. I did think that the owner, Crane, should have been punished more, considering the leadership is what was on the firing line. They had made that clear previously. And certainly the manager, Hinch, and the general manager, Luno, paid the price. So I was in that clubhouse in Houston a lot in spring training, as I'm in that area. Obviously saw Washington a lot too, but Houston was the story, even though Washington are the champion. And it's clear they've suffered in terms of their reputation. I know a lot of people will poo-poo that, but you know, I'd rather have an 8-game suspension than have my reputation be turned to dirt, and it's not even close. So. You know, I don't believe in vigilantism. I don't believe in taking it into your own hands. I don't believe in what Kelly did. If you do that on the street, you're in jail. So I have no sympathy for somebody throwing near someone's head, and the idea that it was unintentional, that he's a little bit wild, ridiculous. I mean, if you watch the game, watch that inning, and I did, I mean, he was up near their head the whole time. And you know, it's not like I expect an apology, but he went the other way. He said he swore at them, which, you know, that happens in a game. I don't mind swearing. I'm not puritanical, but it was clear he was not. It was intentional. So he intentionally threw at their heads, and of course, in this situation, a pandemic, the hitters can't do anything about it. You know, they're not allowed to charge. There's no fighting, so they're sitting ducks. You know, and beyond that, and I know people will say, "Oh, Kelly was on the Red Sox." Well, you know what? They don't have clean hands either. But beyond, he was not a member of the Dodgers. I mean, you know, I'm not inside his head. I think he's just trying to curry favor. I'm not in favor at all what he did. I think 8 games is fair. I actually think it's light, but I think it's fair under the circumstances. He's also a repeat offender. There's about 10 reasons why he deserved it. And, you know, 8 games without Joe Kelly, I mean, you know, I know this isn't relevant to decide the punishment, but the Dodgers will survive that.
Yeah, they will absolutely survive that. I agree with a lot of what you said in normal times. I think by not suspending those guys, baseball allowed for this, and they've made their own bed, and now they've got to sleep with it because players feel like they didn't get punished properly, which is now where players are going to take it into their own hands to police themselves, and that's what you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Not every player is throwing it at someone's head, though.
I agree. You should hit him in the back.
I do think that people are too cavalier about that. What if he'd actually hit him in the head? You know, his control isn't that great. You know, he wasn't that far away from his head. You know, I mean, to me, that's crazy town what he did. So, you know, I understand everyone's upset at the Astros. I get that. Endangering somebody's health is not a fair decision to make if you're the pitcher on the team with a weapon in your hands and you have the ability to throw the ball 99 miles an hour as he does.
That's reasonable enough. John Heyman on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. So how would you assume that Manfred would view the first week? We're on day 8 now, just getting underway. I can't imagine they would have thought there'd be an outbreak already, but he said this isn't a nightmare.
Yeah.
How much of this do you think was expected, and what would he and Major League Baseball, or should they be thinking about how things are going so far?
Right. I would say, you know, it isn't great. You know, they can't at this point say it's confined to one team, and the one team is really in trouble with 18 positives now. So we've had postponements for several teams. Two teams are missing a week. You know, could it be worse? I guess so. Could you say it's not quite a nightmare? Sure. But it's, you know, it's a bit worrisome at this point. And I think we all had concern whether we're going to get through the season, and that concern has not been alleviated at all at this point.
John, really appreciate the time this morning, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
All right. All right. Thank you, guys.
You got it. Always good to have him on the show. Radio.com Sports Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. Let's get into what baseball does now. They have kind of been pushing this idea that, well, it's just the Marlins. It's just that one outbreak, except that the Phillies can't play any games right now. You've now got multiple players, according to Heyman, with the Cardinals who have tested positive. Everything was isolated to the East Coast. Now this is the Midwest as well. G&D on the Fan. Thanks to John Heyman for joining us on Grant and Danny. He makes a point in saying that it looks like teams are not going to end up playing the same number of games. So when you look at the NL East at the end of this year, if the Mets get lucky and somehow they dodge all the landmines and they get to the end of the year and they played all 60 of their games, but maybe the Nats play 55 and the Marlins play 48 by the time it's all said and done, how are you going to determine who moves along? Is it just based on winning percentage? Right now, as an example, the Mets have played 7 games and so have the Braves. The Nats have played 7 games, although they're not going to get to play for 4 straight days now. The Phillies have only played 3. The Marlins have only played 3. So it's very plausible that you'll have teams with different numbers of games at the end of the season. The latest idea from baseball, and it looks like this is actually going to happen, Danny, Ken Rosenthal last night confirming through one of his sources that Major League Baseball is expected to announce sometime today that it is going to stage 7-inning doubleheaders that begin tomorrow. No decision yet on extending 30-man rosters, but doubleheaders that are only 7 innings long, like high school baseball, are going to be played in Major League Baseball starting tomorrow to try to get as many of these games made up as possible.
Never thought I'd see the day, but here we are. Wow, man. Wow. I mean, that practice, I think, pretty much stops at the American Legion level, right, of playing, you know, the 7-inning twin bills. Most of the reason it's in so many high schools is because, you know, it's not uniform with lights and the ability to play into the evening and, you know, field space and usage and kids' arms and everything else. It's for kids, basically, to play games that are that short. And I never thought I'd see Major League Baseball do it, but desperate times. That's what this is. It's you are just going to try to get in the most games, and I'm putting games in quotation marks here, that you possibly can. The highest percentage, 100 is ideal, but getting as close to 60 for everybody as possible, even if they're bastardized, even if a home game is on the road, a la Toronto, or I mean Buffalo, I mean whatever they were last night, you know, playing in D.C., but on as the home team, where
the Washington Blue Jays.
The address announcers, let's give it up for Bo Bichette. And it's like, what? That's weird.
That's not
it's in
a
our
bad
park.
Jerome Haruska guy.
I just threw it out there. Threw a little Jerome out there, you know. I don't know why he would say give it up, like he's introducing him in an award show.
Certainly not something he would say. Bo Bichette.
Give it up for Teoscar Hernandez, who's on the Freddie Freeman All-Stars. But, yeah, I mean, so even if it's going to be weird, even if it's not ideal, we're just going to do the best we can. I want all illusions of fairness punted off the bridge like Ron Burgundy did to Baxter. Like, forget about it, dude. Forget about fairness. Forget about equity. Forget about having any sense of normalcy this year. Let's get weird. Do the best you can.
So, number one, I just don't want to move past too quickly how impressed I am by your Jerome Haruska.
No.
The PA broadcaster for the Nats. I think it's very good. I really
do.
No,
it's not.
It's not bad.
It's a canned announcer voice guy. Like, everyone does that.
So let me hear Davey Martinez and your Washington Nationals.
All right, fans, it's time for Davey Martinez and your Washington Nationals.
Guy, it's good. You sleep. Don't be modest.
All right.
It is very solid, especially if you haven't worked on it and you're just breaking it out for the first time based on your memory of having heard him.
I quite literally have never even thought about it once.
Give me yeah, now that we have the we've got
right,
the song playing.
What's the script? What is he saying?
I think he's just like, "Now, welcome to the field, Davey Martinez and your Washington Nationals."
So what am I going to say? So please welcome. Now, please welcome.
Figure it out. You're a PA guy. Go ahead.
All right, very well. Here we go. All right, fans, on your feet. It's time for your Washington Nationals. It's time for your Nationals? What the hell does that mean?
Not bad, though, overall. And the other bit that he does is, it's time for Nationals baseball.
Yeah, see, I knew there was something I was missing.
That's what you're looking for.
For Nationals
overall,
baseball.
I think it's good. It's got potential. Workshop it a little bit, and if he's out for a day, I know Pete has filled into in PA before. All due respect to Pete, who's incredible. If they want Jerome, too, you could be the guy. But I want to double-click on what you were just saying. I wholeheartedly agree. Last night, I had a few people send me this Rosenthal report, and I love when people do that because I might miss stuff. So thank you, first of all, Mo and everyone else who had tweeted me this, number one. Number two, a lot of people said, just end this season. This is getting ridiculous. This is not baseball. First of all, it's very much baseball. It's extremely baseball. It's the most baseball that baseball can be. The difference is there's just fewer games, or there might be fewer innings, or there might be some weird quirks. But Max Scherzer's still peering in and still cursing into his mitt after a big strikeout of one of the Blue Jays. That's as baseball can get. My point on this, and maybe we can open the phones to see if people agree, because it does sound like, in a boring way, we're in lockstep on this. But I'd be curious to hear from people, and I would love to get a couple calls on this, at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I think that we just have to accept that this is not normal. We should have already done that a while ago. I feel like we did at some point, and we forget
I've been stumping
that.
For that for months.
So let's just enjoy what we get. Do I like seven-inning doubleheaders? Absolutely not. I think that that's silly. If the two teams are there and they're able to play seven twice, they're able to play nine twice, and they should play nine twice. So I, if you're polling me, would say, no, don't do that. That's ridiculous. Just like some of you might say, no, don't use the DH in the NL. That's ridiculous. Or you might say, no, don't start with a runner on second base. That's ridiculous. Doesn't matter. Do we get to keep watching baseball games? If the answer is yes, then keep playing them. You want to play seven innings every single night? I think that'd be ludicrous. I'll take it. If you want to play five innings on Thursdays and 18 innings on Tuesdays, whatever, man. I want to keep watching baseball. I don't care how normal it is. I don't care how much it reminds me of last season and hopefully what next season will look like is more normal. I just want baseball. So if I get to every single night, at 7:05, sit my fat butt down on my couch, turn on Masson, and see Bob and FP calling a Nats game, or go for a walk with Fiona the French Bulldog and listen to Charlie and Dave for three or four innings. Whatever has to happen for allow me to keep doing that, that's what we need to do. And if that's doubleheaders that are seven innings long that I can't stand, so be it. It's the weirdest season that's ever happened. It's going to get weirder. Make it up as you go. And keep playing baseball as much as we can. That's kind of my stance on this.
Yeah, games are now at 6:05, like it's TBS. Like it's early 90s, and Pete Harnish is on the mound. Like, it's the whole time, everything's bizarre. Everything is weird, so let's just keep doing it. I mean, I don't know. I want Bob. Like, here's where I'm at. Even if it gets so bastardized, right, even if it gets so weird that Bob Carpenter's like, okay, there's no score in the bottom of the fourth, so now we start with a runner on second every inning until somebody gets five runs. I don't give a damn. It's Max Scherzer pitching. And if it's not Max Scherzer, I'll watch Eric Fetty throw sinkers and sliders in last three and a third. Like, what do we want?
Less fun, but I'll do that. 800-636-1067 is the number. I want to know what side of this thing you're on. This is not baseball, just pack it in. There are plenty of people that are doing that thing. I had people yesterday telling me, I'm not watching. I watched the first game. It was so weird. I haven't turned it back on. Well, you missed some cool stuff, but to each their own. 800-636-1067, or you like me and Danny, where you go, I'm watching. It's baseball. If it's weird, so be it. Eventually, 2021 will come, and we can get back to normal, ideally. Although, who knows at this point. Grant and Danny on the Fan. You can call us at 800-636-1067. You can tweet us at FunnyDanny and at Grant H. Paulson. We're discussing Major League Baseball, which is in trouble because the Marlins had an outbreak and haven't played since. The Phillies played the Marlins, still have not had a single positive player test. In fact, they just got their results back again today from yesterday, and again, they have no cases. Their players are all testing negative for the coronavirus, but they haven't played since this weekend, and they still aren't allowed to play any Major League Baseball games. But the policy as of right now is not only that if you have an outbreak, but it sounds like if you play a team that has an outbreak, you get shut down. So how we're going to get these teams to 60 games, nobody really knows. Baseball, according to Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan, are going to announce today that there are going to be seven-inning doubleheaders. A lot of this stuff is weird, and a lot of this stuff, if you pitched it in normal times, people would despise and be up in arms about. But right, these aren't normal times, and so my point is, nothing's ideal. Let's just get the most baseball we can. And if that's seven innings one day, I'll take it. And hopefully next year and in the year after, whenever we get back to normal, the rules go back to the way that you and I want them. But I am in team make the best of this terrible situation. Just like I am with a restaurant that is serving to-go orders and not able to people and having one table in every section. Just like our radio show, we're continuing along from home, Danny. Nothing about this is normal. I want baseball to kind of do the same thing, but a lot of people are saying, if it's not the sport, then we shouldn't have it. And I see this all the time, and I'm sure you do too, people that are bothered by some of these rules going, I'm just not going to invest any time in this. It's not the sport that I love. Okay, that's fine. That's your prerogative. I'm not on that team, though.
I love Chef Jeff's, right? Local spot. Guys are awesome. It's a really good restaurant. Nice little local spot not far from me, right? I like going there. I can't go get a table, sit down, eat my meal, and leave. I still like Chef Jeff's. I get carry out. Is it the same? No, but it's still nice. People who want it all shut down are saying that they don't want me to get carry out. That's what I don't quite get. I know it's not ideal. I know it's not the same. I know it's not a perfect situation. But it's confusing to me to folks that say, no, we should just shut this down. Now, if it's out of principle, okay, we could talk about that. But if you're like, I don't like this version of the sport, well, again, I don't like having to eat in my car like I'm, 18 years old on a road trip. But here we are, right? We're all making the best of this thing. I mean, if you told me tomorrow, no major league season, but Scherzer is going to get everyone over at his Great Falls estate, build a diamond, fill the dream style, and hold pickup games, and they can get a camera in there, I'll watch the hell out of that. You know, like, I just don't know what people – you should want the games. Otherwise, why are you listening to sports?
Yeah, and right? I'll say this too. If you're a baseball fan and you're watching these games, you are getting enjoyment out of them. Like, when the games start, they don't feel that different than a normal game. And people that say otherwise either aren't watching or are looking for something. They just don't. Now, is it a little bit maybe more energy-less? Does it feel a little bit different in terms of the atmosphere of the crowd? Of course. But the actual baseball, when Scherzer's emptying the tank the other night against the Blue Jays and trying to put away one more batter to give the ball back to Davey Martinez after eight innings with a lead or staying at that case 0-0, that's baseball, man. That's what it is. Let's go to the phones. Mike is in Oakton on line one to get us started. You're on G&D. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Love you guys. Long time, first time.
Thank you, Mike.
Just wanted to get... I'm like you guys. I watch whatever's on. I get up at 4:45 in the morning and watch Korean baseball.
You're really crazy. I
wanted to give you, it's not really a correction, just to expand on this. Danny, I know you played Division I baseball. My son played Division I baseball. Would have been in his fifth year in the minor leagues, be sitting at home working out right now. Mm. It's typical at the Division I level and in the minor leagues. As you know, Danny, you played the Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend series in most Division I atmospheres. If it gets rained out on a Friday night, they typically play 2/7 on a Saturday.
Yeah, you'll do 2/7. You're right.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's, and I understand the major leagues, but they do it in the minor leagues, too. I mean, you got a team coming in from Memphis.
They do it all the time in the minor leagues.
Jackson, Tennessee, which where my boy played last year. And it gets rains on a Friday. They'll play it on Saturday, 2/7. Occasionally a 9 and a 7, but I think the coaches and the umpires work that out before the games. I'm really not privy to that. As a matter of fact,
especially at the lower levels. Lower levels, right. They do sevens all the time because it's a pitching thing and an innings thing and a roster.
Exactly. You're saving arms. And more so in Division One, where you have less arms and less strong arms. So I just wanted to give you that. Basically, I heard Danny say that, you know, it stopped at the American Legion level. I know he knows better than that. I just wanted to make it clear that it doesn't really stop at the American Legion level.
I appreciate it, man. Grant, people have been annoyed at me. They've been tweeting me, and that's fine. I welcome that. I was just generally trying to make a point to say that it's, you know, it's not what Major League Baseball
doing
does.
Doing shtick.
I was speaking hyperbolically, but yes, there are the independent leagues have done seven inning minor league games.
Well, I mean,
down
this year,
let's say A-ball
in
Vero Beach, yes,
played in Florida State League and California League. They're going to play seven inning doubleheaders. It is a thing that is done, but it feels amateur because that's the minors, or it is college. It's never been, and it's not going to be done in the big leagues in a normal year. My point is, I hate it. I heard that, and I rolled my eyes and said, please don't do this. You're already there. You've got the expanded rosters. Everyone's tested negative. You're playing seven, you can play nine. But I don't care if I don't like it. Just like if you don't like the DH or you don't like the runner at second, so what? It's a weird season. Just watch the baseball. Take it for what it is, which is you're getting something where you would have had nothing. Drew's in Vienna. What's going on, Drew? How are you?
Hey, guys. Enjoying your show this morning. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I agree. I am completely embracing the weirdness of this season. I would be on board for just about anything this season that they wanted to do. I love watching the baseball. Mike should be DVRing his games, and Mike and Oakton should be DVRing those green games. I'm watching them. And I won't pile on Danny about the seven-inning thing. But listen, the one little itch I have about this is I don't want to hear in December that we had a 400 hitter this year, or that, you know, someone broke the inning streak record. And as long as we acknowledge that they did that in strange times, that's great. But 5 years from now, I don't want them to be lumped in with the other big numbers. Let's just say this is an outlier and hope next year it gets back to normal. Thanks, guys.
I think that's fair. And especially as you keep changing rules over, and forget about the number of games, which is all the more reason to not consider this in terms of if Jeff McNeil hits 417 or something, the first 400 hitter since whenever, you know, since George Brett or whatever. No, not doing that, not playing that game. It's 57 games and the weirdest season ever. So I'm with you. I don't necessarily need to quantify everything as if it would have been a year ago or a year from now. It's its own wacky experience, and let's just kind of isolate it and separate it that way. Line 4, Dan is in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, dude.
G&T, how are you?
Good, man.
Man.
Yesterday I went to Commonwealth Dry Goods where Chad works, and he was there. And it's about 4 blocks from my house, so it's really cool, man. I got to talk to him for a while, and I told him who I was. I'm known as 311 Dan on his show, and he said, "That's you?" And so we talked a little bit. It was cool. But as far as the seven-inning games, I think, as Mr. Peck would say, what you're doing is weird. It's freaking me out. What you're doing is weird. It's strange. But I did listen to the game on your wonderful station yesterday and listened to Michael A. Taylor hit a home run, and it was awesome. So I'll keep listening. Thanks, guys.
Two bombs for Michael A. This is one of those weird things that'll never be proven, Danny, but let's see if it plays out.
Go.
I had told a buddy with the team, actually, that I had a weird feeling that Michael A. Taylor could have just like a monster 60 games because these are essentially like spring training plus, and he just always destroys in spring training. I don't know if it's the fans or what it is, but if you think about it, Michael A. Taylor probably hits like 900 with power in spring training, and I just had this weird feeling like maybe this will be like Michael A. Taylor's best two-month run ever. Because it's kind of like spring training and it's loosey-goosey. Now, he's not necessarily off to a crazy start with batting average or anything. Got a couple of bolts in a couple of games. So I'll be curious to see if we get spring training Michael A.
March Michael A is a Hall of Famer. March Michael A. Taylor is among the greatest baseball players that have ever lived. And I love that guy, and I root for him so hard. But if I could just find a way, like in the natural where they got hypnotized, if somebody could, Peter Gibbons style, hypnotize that dude to say, "You are in West Palm Beach. It's March. You're in West Palm Beach. It's March." And he'd wake up believing it. He'd be the greatest baseball player alive. It would be Michael A. Trout. That's what it would be.
The Nats should hire Flip Orley.
Good poll.
That was for one, by the way. That poll was for you and you alone, because I knew that would pop you.
And that is correct.
He's at the DC Improv like every 5 years or something, hypnotized.
Every year. He does 2 week stints now. He does like two full weekends
because
he's so wildly successful. No, people love Flip Orley, man.
He's got like a residence in Vegas at the Improv. G&D on the Fan, our double play is next. The Blitz is 16. You care the most about. Let's get to our double play right now.
The announcement was made yesterday. I knew it was coming, but it was still depressing. It was still being smacked in the face with a salmon or a more substantial fish to really cause damage. I knew it. I knew it. I predicted it. I called it. Oh, my God. DC schools went along with other municipalities close by, Grant. They announced that they will, quote, start the year. Very temporary, I'm sure. With distance learning. They're going to go all virtual or whatever, which means schools will not be open. And when I tweeted that out, I'm at Funny Danny. What a disaster, or this is a complete disaster. Everybody decided that it meant something more than it did, which is this is disastrous that schools aren't open. It is. It's a disaster. That's how everyone should be viewing it. It's a disaster. Working parents, disaster. For the kids, disaster. Everything about this is awful. And they took it to make that I'm making some sort of political statement or otherwise, or I'm not taking the infection seriously or whatever else. Everyone's wrong. I'm correct. It's a disaster. At least bars are open for a couple weeks in June. We're all set. We got a couple statues down. We're good. This should have been the priority all the time. Every second of every day, every policy that was enacted or not enacted or thought about or kicked around should have been about schools opening up in the fall. Should have been the stated goal. It was item 77 on the list when the council got together or when whatever municipality or they talked to this person or that person. We're going to allow phase one to begin where you can get carry out. Schools opening should have been the entire priority of everything. Anything that anybody did should have been, is this going to help or hurt schools opening up in the fall? And they decided to do other things, to appease other groups. That's fine. That's fine. This is not fine. This sucks. This is awful. And what people, there are several groups of people, one without kids that just don't understand what I'm talking about. There's the second group, and you see this a lot, especially kind of where we are in Northwest D.C. There'll be, stay-at-home moms or sometimes stay-at-home dads, but one parent stays at home, and they're like, it's going to be so fun to have little Keegan, to have little Dex the Trim stay at home with me, and I'll do lesson plans for them. The rest of us, regular mortals that don't have some sort of silver spoon or don't have some sort of incredibly lucrative job where you just sort of get to show up remotely and then spend 2 months in the Cape, are going, oh, my God. More is being asked of working parents. It's not tenable. It's not possible. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. We can't pay for anything because we're making less money. Smack in the face. Thanks again, people that decided to part-time open stuff and kill every business. The only people that have the short end of the stick here are folks that did what they were supposed to do. Just the regular old tax-paying, cut your salary in half, the worker bees that are just so thrilled to be scolded and yelled at and told to wear my mask, stay at home, and shut your mouth and don't complain. We did everything, and what do we have? What do we have to show for it? School's not open in the fall. I'm mad at everybody. I'm not mad at one person. I'm mad at all people. Anybody who is not brutally upset by this is wrong, and I'm right. This sucks beyond compare. Back to you, Grant.
Okay, so there's a lot to chew on there. I started jotting things down to follow up on, and then I got to like 17 things, and we have a couple minutes left in the segment before our heart out to join our Richmond audience. But I guess my question would be, you're mad at everyone, you said, so I won't ask
everyone
who you're mad at. But are you saying, it's like, to me, the opening of some restaurants and bars, which it seems like you're mad about, because it didn't help get schools open. Like, not having the economy open in any way would have been disastrous, which you've been on record saying, like I have. We needed to do, we couldn't have just kept everything shut down for months and months on end as people correctly are being bailed out and losing jobs and not able to pay their mortgages and pay their bills. What should have been done differently, would you say?
Well,
a lot of
health.
Things in terms of our right. How as a country we've responded to the coronavirus, which has been not great, as evidenced by look at our cases and look at other cases around the world. But what I'm asking, I guess, is specific to when you're saying, like, these people that we had to open bars and restaurants, like nothing should have been open at all. Or what is your point?
My point is the priority, the only thing that matters. You want an economy, you open schools up. You want your children to not grow up all bent out of shape, you open schools up. You need to find a way. The public health crisis right now is children not being in school. That's number one. Number two is the stupid coronavirus. People need to treat this as a public health issue, which it is. There's infinite amount of data. Either school's important or it's not. It isn't just something to occupy kids that used to work in the fields. And, you know, when the crops are planted, there's nothing for them to do. They go to the schoolhouse and listen to some lectures. School is important. It is critical. It's the most important thing about our infrastructure for a million reasons. One, socialization for the kids, their ability to learn, grow, develop, etc. Parents can work, produce things in the economy. We can do things. We can go to office places, etc. Childcare, there's a whole universe of money changing hands and development for the next generation that's essential. And they just said, whoops! It's the only thing that should have mattered throughout this process. So if this doesn't help schools open up, we're not doing it. So I don't know. I don't know if bars should have opened up. I don't know if people should have been allowed to gather and protest. I don't know. That's not my department. My department is we failed because we have a broken economy with all the unemployed people, and we still have a pandemic. So we did neither, really. And right now in D.C. where I live, if you see somebody not wearing a mask, you're supposed to call the cops on them. And the cops admittedly aren't going to do anything because it's a bad look. So cool. Awesome. What are we paying for? At least my property taxes are through the roof. At least it's really expensive to live here.
You're covering a lot of ground here with things that don't necessarily relate.
But it's all related, man. It's all part of the
same. I don't know that it is.
But what am I paying for?
If you just want me to answer the question, do I think it's an utter debacle that kids aren't going back to school? Yes. Do I think it is completely debilitating to development of young people to be stuck in their homes and not with their other friends socializing and learning? It's a disaster of effort for me. I'll do it again. The Blitz is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.